Please be seated. I'm going to read the first part of the first verse of our Bible reading for today with a slight change. I'm going to change a we to an I. But I have a continuing obligation to thank God for you, fellow Christians. Yes, I'm thanking God for you that you actually showed up today. The last regular chapel of the semester. For some of you students, the last regular chapel for your college career. You could have been doing something more exciting, something less regular, something else. I have to admit, if I hadn't been asked to preach for chapel today, would I even be here? I don't have any more tests to give or grade. I don't have any classes I need to prep for. I could have been doing something else today. So why am I here? Why are you here? Well, St. Paul has a good answer for us in the Bible reading for today. He wants you to know more about how God shows his love for you. He's writing to the Christians at Thessalonica for the second time, and he's wanting to strengthen them, to encourage them in their faith, especially as they're fighting against false teaching in their midst. He writes in his second chapter of that letter, "But we have a continuing obligation to thank God for you, fellow Christians, whom the Lord loves, because in the beginning God chose you to be made holy by the Spirit, to believe the truth, and so to be saved. For this purpose also he called you by the gospel which we preach. He wants you to have the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stand then, fellow Christians, and cling to the instructions we handed down to you when we spoke to you or wrote to you." This is God's word. When did God first show his love for you? Well, really, that's an unfair question, because Paul says that it was in the beginning that God chose you. In other words, before time began, in eternity, God chose you. He picked you to be his own. Paul says it to the Ephesians in this way, that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. So why you? What makes you so special? Why would God choose you out of the billions of people ever to live? Why would he choose you to be his own? Well, sure, he might choose you to go to hell because of your sins. If you start looking for a good reason within yourself as to why God would choose you to be one of his own, you're not going to find it if you're looking within yourself. Seriously, with all the things that you've done that you know are wrong, all the times you've messed up, think about your life recently. Were you tempted to cheat a little bit on a final paper or a final exam? Maybe you've been mad at God lately over something bad that's happened in your life, and you think that if God really loved me, then he wouldn't allow, insert bad thing here, to have happened. Or maybe you were a little more than happy to have certain students out of your classroom once and for all because they were a little less than enjoyable to have. You have sinned. You're a sinner. You were indeed born that way. And again, there's no good reason for God to pick you, to choose you, other than to choose you in order to condemn you. But that is not what God wants for you. No, he chose you to be made holy by the Spirit, to believe the truth, and so to be saved. In other words, he chose you to go to heaven instead of going to hell. He chose to rescue you from an eternity in torment and instead give you an eternity in absolute perfection, absolute bliss, to give you the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for that plan to be carried out, that plan that God made in eternity, in time, he called you. Paul tells the Thessalonians that they were called by the gospel which we preach. And that's exactly how God called you. Now, granted, you don't have St. Paul standing before you today preaching to you. You just have me. But that doesn't mean you haven't already heard Paul. When I read from 2 Thessalonians, you were hearing Paul speak. Any time that you hear or read any of his other letters, you're hearing Paul speak. So also, when you read other parts of the Bible, you have Moses, David, Solomon, Elijah, Isaiah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and many others speaking to you. But it's not just that you have all of those saints of old speaking to you as if it's just in some dry and dusty book. No, when they speak to you, you have God speaking to you because their words are His words. And when God speaks to you, He calls you to Himself. He tells you in no uncertain terms that you're a sinner, but He tells you in no uncertain terms also that you have a Savior who is God, who became one of us, a Savior who lived a life without ever sinning, a Savior who took that perfect life and sacrificed it on the cross to pay for your sins, a Savior who rose from the dead to guarantee your eternal life, a Savior who ascended to the right hand of the Father so that there He is pleading your case before the Father always, and all of these things for you. This is God's call to you, a call that He may have first made when you were baptized, when He drowned your sinful nature and raised you to eternal life in Jesus. You may have heard that call later in life when you heard that the gospel message, the good news for the first time. And you continue to hear that call every time that you hear God's word, every time that you repent of your sins and God tells you, I forgive you because of my Son, because of Jesus. And this, of course, is, well, really not just good news. It's great news. It's not something that we hear just once and figure that we never have to hear it again. That would only be true if we planned on never sinning again. We know we need to hear of God's forgiveness and receive that forgiveness every day. We need to apply to ourselves the last thing that Paul wrote in this lesson. Stand then, fellow Christians, and cling to the instructions that we handed down to you when we spoke to you or wrote to you. We could boil down what Paul says here in this way. Hold on to God's word as if your life depended on it, which it does. You see, the main part of the instructions that Paul talks about here, it's not all of God's commands of do this, don't do this. No, the main part of what Paul says we need to hold on to is the fact that God loves us, the fact that He chose us, the fact that He has brought us out of death into life, that He continues to give us this new life every day, every time that we hear or read His word, every time we think about what He did in our baptisms, every time that we partake of His supper. By being here today, that's exactly what you're doing. You're clinging to God's word. Now, you may not necessarily think of it that way as to why you came to chapel today. Maybe you came out of force of habit. Maybe you came simply to sit next to some certain person. Maybe you came because you like singing. And not to sound too crass, but I don't really care why you came today. I'm just glad that you did. I'm glad that you came so that you could hear God's word. Stand firm in that word and keep clinging to it. It gives you life. Amen. Please rise for prayer. We pray. Gracious and loving Father, you have chosen us to be your own and have made that choice real to us when you brought us to believe in your Son, our Savior. Thank you for rescuing us from death and giving us life. Give us always the desire to hear your life-giving word as often as we can because we know it is our lifeline. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen.